wasn't trained in the army, but he had a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Enough relationship with God to know that he wasn't going to let no devil, no uncircumcised Philistine, defy the armies of the Lord.
We know your hearts have burned in by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, the first four words of that verse. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, the four words are this. Learn to do well. Amen. You may be seated. These four words, learn to do well. And I want to speak from the subject, a lesson for life, part two. A lesson for life, part two. Isaiah is sharing with the people of God, the chosen people, the Israelites of that day and time, a message from God, hoping to help the Israelites correct the error of their ways, the mistakes they've made, the evil that they've done in the sight of our God, who sits high but looks low. In order to bless the people of God the way that God chooses to do so, means that they have to align themselves with his word, his will, and his way. He starts off in verse 16. I'm not going to read all of these, but I just want to caption them so you pretty much know what they're saying. He's saying you got to clean yourself up, change your ways, and cease from doing wicked, ungodly things. He says, wash you. See, everybody want, wash me, Lord. No, Lord said, wash yourself. See, what does that suggest? It suggests that you want to be clean. You want to be rid of the dirt and the grit and the grime of sin and evil and all of the devilish things that cause your soul to be darkened and dirty. You want to be rid of those things. So you have to desire to be clean and start the process. Wash you. Tell somebody, wash yourself. But then he goes on to tell him, listen, because when you wash yourself, it prepares you for a change. You can't get rid of the things you do until your heart is clean. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He said that after he messed up, had fallen short, committed adultery, and knew that he was not walking in the favor of God, but he wanted the favor of God back on his life. So he had to do something that required God to know that he wanted to be clean. And so it's important to recognize that before a change can come, you've got to clean your heart, your mind. And then after the change come, only then can you cease from doing the things that displease God, that God hates, that God frowns upon, that's not like the people of God, and that does not represent God. So verse 16 is about us, but verse 17 is more about others. Because in this 17th verse, he says, after you have cleaned yourself, changed your ways, and ceased the bad stuff, now learn to do well. But what does this suggest? That you can't learn to do well till you get yourself together. And once you get yourself together, then you can learn what it is that God wants you to know. Learn to do well. First thing I need to tell you about learn to do well is it's a principle. But most of us know anything about learning, know that learning is a process that calls us to practice over and over and over again in order to reach a progressive state. You can't progress until you practice. And here, Isaiah is saying to them, learn to do well by practicing this principle. Another way of saying it is, if at first you don't succeed, try and try and try and try and try again until you make it. Learn to do well. It doesn't matter whether you are a young child, whether you're an adolescent, you're a teen, you're a young adult, you're a middle-aged adult, you're a senior adult. This is a lesson for life. Listen, it's a principle whereby God wants you to know you can't begin to get the best that God has for you until you learn to do well. Let's look at first the general perspective. The general perspective is that when I learn to do well, I profit from learning to do well. When I learn to do well, things good come to me and happen for me. Right doors open up to me when I learn to do well. From the general perspective, it prepares me for a life worth living, filled with things that come the way of those who are well prepared. So the general perspective is the first thing about learning to do well is that you profit from it. You gain from it. Great things in life happen for you because of it. But then as we move from the general perspective to the greater perspective, there is something larger than you that happens when you learn to do well. That's why it's so important for parents to teach their children as young as they possibly can to learn how to do well, to learn to instill in them the principles of God, and to learn his word, and to know that it doesn't happen overnight. It's a continual process of learning the principles, line upon line, precept upon precept, practice upon practice. Every day that comes and goes, you keep putting this principle into practice and teaching them that even though man may not always appreciate or recognize it, God does. Listen at this. Now, because of the greater perspective, it says learn to do well. And then the first thing it says after that, there are four things that he wants us to consider, and none of them got anything to do with profiting and prospering us. It's all about others. First, he says, seek what? Seek what? Seek judgment. This word literally means seek justice. Justice. And the reason why, when you learn to do well, you then take on the Spirit of God and you want to see justice served wherever injustice is being done. In other words, as a true child of God, you don't participate, you don't pass by, you don't act like you don't see when injustice is being done to somebody who can't help themselves. God has made you a witness for a reason. And the reason God has made you a witness, even if you can't do nothing about it yourself, you can call somebody else. That's why you got 911 to help somebody who you might not be able to physically help. But here it is. It's wherever you can lend a helping hand to bring justice where justice is not, do it. But only folk who learn to do well seek judgment. But then it says to relieve the oppressed. Now, this word relieve is connected with the word straight. And what it literally means is to play it straight with those who are less fortunate than yourselves and who are oppressed, who have become those at the lower echelon of life, the ones that people walk on and people misuse and people treat badly. It says relieve the oppressed. Shoot straight with them. You know, it's amazing how those who are blessed and those who have it, instead of treating those who are disenfranchised and disconnected and disrespected with the honor God wants them to, many of them will treat them worse because they can't fend for themselves. But the word tells those who learn to do well to relieve the oppressed. Help them out. Call it straight. Don't take advantage of them. Don't misuse them. Because when you learn to do well, you learn to help others do well. Am I talking to anybody in the house? But then it says to judge the fatherless. Now, this again literally means to give correct judgment to those who are without a father, because they are without their natural protector and provider. Their protector, as their father, is not present. So therefore, they don't have a man of the house to guard them. They don't have a strong man to keep the enemy from coming in and taking over. They're misused and abused in many situations, many forums and many arenas, because there is not a father there to stand up for them, to protect them, to teach them precepts and principles, to be able to provide for them. And so many of them become orphanaged. Many of them been given to foster homes and places where people have misused and abused and take advantage of them, all because they were fatherless and didn't have anyone else to judge them rightly. See, my brothers and sisters, he says in this word, we need to be careful how to judge the fatherless, because what they have gone through has not necessarily been because they've desired to. It's been because of the position they've been put in. When you go into the prisons and when you go into places where young men have failed to exceed and to accomplish and to grow, most of them, if you ask, did you grow up with your father? Most of them will say, I don't know my father. Or my father left when I was a child. Or something happens where the father is either not in the house or displaced from the house. And they never had the privilege of growing up with a father who could lead them and guide them, who could discipline and direct them. And so those who have learned to do well are called on to judge the fatherless rightly. And then lastly, he says, plead for the widow. Like the fatherless, the widow does not have her natural protector or provider in her husband. He's dead. He who used to have the responsibility of taking care of the wife and the children is no longer present, and he's not coming back. He's dead or good as dead. And God says, plead for the widow. In other words, don't let the widows be mistreated. Don't let the widows go without. Don't let the widows be taken advantage of. Don't hinder whatever God is doing for the widow, and especially if he desires to use you. God is always throughout the word looking to defend the fatherless and the widows. And those who learn to do well should look well to the care of the widow. God wants them to know that he has not forgotten them. And because he's not forgotten them, he has trained up some who have learned well to do their part in making sure that they don't go undone with the things that they have need of. I wish I had a helper in the house. And so that's the greater perspective. So we've learned that learn to do well is a principle of God's word. It's a law. It's what God wants all of us, not some of us, but all of us to learn. And the sooner we learn it, the better God is able to use us in a greater sense. You want to know how God can expand your ministry, how God can use you greater in service? Then you learn to do well, and you're going to find out that God will cause you to be a greater blessing because you've been greater blessed. God has never caused us to be blessed to sit on them, the blessings, to be stingy with them, to be selfish with them, to want it for me, myself, and I, but rather to be a blessing. God sends a blessing to the ones he can send a blessing through. And when you learn how to be that blessing that God wants you to be, more blessings will come from every direction. Every time you turn around, he's blessing you because he knows you're going to be a blessing to somebody less fortunate than yourself. himself. But listen at this. There is another point I want to bring out of this text. Learn to do well. And that's to be persistent. Point two, persistent. Somebody say persistent. You must be persistent in doing well. And I don't know, my brothers and sisters, but every now and then it gets rough. I'm talking about those who do well. Sometimes you feel like you're unappreciated. Sometimes you deal with ingrates, folk after you've made sacrifices, done what you can do, they don't even want to say thank you. If they say thank you, they say it like they didn't want to say it, and it's a hardship on them. You've gone out of your way. You've done stuff that you didn't have to do. And sometimes you want to give up because of the ungrateful folk and miss out on all of the grateful ones who's waiting for you to bless them. And sometimes you've just got to be persistent even when you don't feel like it. Listen at Paul, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing. Listen at this now. Let us not be weary in, what do you mean in well doing? While I'm doing well. While I'm in the process of doing well, I know it gets rough. I know it gets tough. Sometimes, you know, you just want to throw your hands up. Sometimes you want to turn around. Sometimes you want to say, Lord, I quit. But you've got to be persistent in well doing, for in due season. Somebody shout due season. I say somebody shout due season. That's your season. I don't know why you won't shout due season. That's when you do the things God promised you. You do everything else for everybody else, but God say, I ain't forgot about you. Your due season is coming. Ye shall reap if ye faint not. As long as you stay persistent in this thing, it doesn't matter what the natural rewards are. It doesn't matter what natural appreciation you get. It doesn't matter who pats you on the back. It doesn't matter how many folks say thank you. God's got a blessing with your name on it. And it's going to show up in due time. Tell somebody, I'm waiting on my due time. I can't do nothing until my due time gets here. Somebody is waiting on that due time. I know they feel this thing. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Got one more point I'm going to make, and I'm going to shut it down. It's a principle that we must be persistent in practicing. But when we are persistent in practicing it, day by day, opportunity by opportunity, it becomes a permanent part of our existence. Somebody say permanent part. Listen, God wants our well-doing to be a permanent part of our lifestyles, not an occasion of doing well. Well, I done my good deed for the day. And then God sends somebody else for you to do a good day. You missed it. You should have come earlier. No, let me throw a helpful holy hand out to somebody. Do you know why God touches your heart about a matter and don't touch the person on the side of you? It's because he intends and expects you to do something about it. Person on the other side of you, either side of you, in front of you, behind you, might not have gotten the message. that God has put this person, God has put this problem, God has put this situation on your heart because he wants you to do something about it. And so don't become upset when you tell others and they be like, so? Well, or give you some complaint or some issue why they can't help or they can't do nothing about it. He didn't tell them. He told you for you to do something about it. And he wants this to be a permanent principle in your life. Many of us have used out of true context Philippians 4:19, where it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now that's a wonderful promise to claim, but the promise don't come until the principle has been applied. Learn to do well. Well, what are you talking about? Well, let's back up to Philippians 4:13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. And by the way, all things don't mean everything that's to be done. All things consist of what he was talking about in verse 12. Verse 12 says, for I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. Then he says, I can do all things. What things? All these things I just got through telling you about. Don't take it out of context. And when you take it out of context and you fall flat on your face, well, the word said I can do all things. He didn't say that. It was all the things that he said. Are y'all listening to me today? But let's go on to verse 14, because this is where I'm trying to get to. He says, even though I can do all things, he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done. Well done. Doing well is well done. That ye did communicate with my affliction. Then he goes on in verse 15 and says, now ye Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16 says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
K-A-Y-T. 100.1.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick.